Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Okay, so the reading's broken into two bits. The first bit is from John 8, verse 31. And then the next bit is from Colossians 3. So has everybody got a Bible or phone? So in the church Bibles, it's 1014. Okay, we'll get going. So, John 8, verse 31. So to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." And then the next bit is from Colossians 3, verse 1. And that's on page 1118. So this is just the first four verses. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory."
Just going to say a cheeky prayer for Mike.
Thank you.
He's going to hold on tightly to his sermon because I tried to steal it earlier. Lord, thank you for Mike. Thank you for who he is and everything that he gives to this church. And would you bless him as he shares with us? Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, everyone. Great to be here with you. Looking at the topic of truth this evening, and this theme of truth. And as I was looking at this theme, I was actually going to talk about, there were a number of directions I could have taken to unpack this theme of truth. And I was actually going in a very different direction. And then towards the end of this week, I really felt convicted to change track. And I felt strongly that I should focus on the truth of who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ this evening. And I've mentioned a few of the things that I'm going to mention tonight before, I think. As I said earlier, at my age, I get a little bit hazy, and I can't really remember what I've said or what I haven't said and when I've said it, etc. So I may have said some of these things before, but even if I have, it doesn't matter. I really felt strongly the Lord wants to remind us of them if you've already heard them before. But as believers, the first thing I want to start off is as believers that the only weapon that the enemy has against us are lies and deception. That is it. There's no other weapon he has against us. Lies and deception. John 8:44 says, "For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Somebody once said, don't believe the devil, even when he's telling the truth. Just don't believe him. Father of lies. And if you're anything like me this evening, you will have or are having struggles in your faith. Have you ever had doubts about your faith? Have you ever said to yourself, am I really saved? Was my conversion real? Especially if you're a new Christian. Was it real? Did something really happen? Have you suffered from guilt, condemnation? Has God really forgiven me? How is it that I'm a new creation, as the Bible says, and yet I'm still struggling with sin? How can that be? I feel like such a fraud. If only people knew what I was really like, the things I said and the things I did when I'm not in church. If we feel like that, or ever felt like that, then probably we have not fully grasped the truth of our identity in Jesus Christ. And we're believing the lies and the accusations of the enemy as he seeks to derail our relationship with Jesus Christ. Most of us, as Christians, I would guess, I would say most of us as Christians have never really fully realized who we are in Jesus Christ. And the result of that is that there's a tendency to live most of our Christian life with feelings of guilt, inadequacy, and defeat. And that is exactly what the enemy wants of us. Before you were a Christian, his aim was to stop you from coming to faith. Once you have become a Christian, he can't do anything about that. He's failed. His next plan of action is to spoil, mess up your relationship, and make you an ineffective Christian. That is his plan B once you're saved. Because of that, we need to know the truth of our status as children of God in order to be able to deflect the lies of the enemy when he throws those lying darts at us. And John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free from your guilt, from your condemnation, from the lies and accusations of the enemy." Now, I want us this evening to have a look at the whole issue and question of our identity, the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ, and what actually happens when we become Christians. Who does the Bible say I am when I become a Christian? What does the Bible say when I become a Christian? Who am I? What am I? And I want this evening to unpack that by looking at three very pivotal truths about our identity in Jesus Christ. Here's the first truth about you, if you're a Christian here this evening. When you became a Christian, you died. Did you know that? You died. The person you were before ceased to exist. You died. So before I was a Christian, there were three things that were true of me. I was alienated from God. I was unable to overcome the gravitational pull of sin in my life. I was a slave to sin. I had no control over it whatsoever. I just went where it led me. And thirdly, I was destined, because of those two things, I was destined for the condemnation of God. That was the truth about my life. That was the truth about my future. That's what it held for Mike Pavlou. And before you were a Christian, those three things were also true of you. But when you became a Christian, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that person with those three characteristics ceased to exist. That person died with Jesus Christ on the cross. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And if we were a Pentecostal church here, we would be saying, So because of that, you now have a Mike Pavlou standing in front of you who is no longer alienated from God. He is no longer unable to resist the gravitational pull of sin. And there is no longer a Mike Pavlou that is under the condemnation of God. And if you're a Christian here this evening, then that is exactly true of you. That is who you are. Second thing, second truth of about you as a, when you became a Christian. First you died, and then the second truth is you have been raised with Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1. You see, when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit came and entered your body. And the very life of God himself, the Bible tells us, entered your soul and made it his own. That means that you're actually walking around with the very presence of God living inside you. Scary, isn't it? Where you go, God goes. Think about that. It's incredible. It's scary. It's wonderful all at the same time. And it's true of you if you're a Christian here this evening. You died with Christ, and as Christ was raised, so you are raised with him into new life. And he said, well, how can I be sure of that, Mike? How can I know that that's true? Well, I can tell you how I knew. You suddenly start to become more responsive and sensitive to the things of God. You never used to before. You become aware of your behavior, your language, your thoughts, your priorities. Never mattered to you before. You begin to have a new sense of morality. You're more aware of the programs and films you watch and the things that you read. Never bothered you that much before. You now have a love and a desire to please God in a way that you never had before. Where has that come from? There's only one explanation for this change of heart, this change of mind, this change of attitude, and that is that the new life of God, which has invaded your very being, is with God's presence in the form of his Holy Spirit, is residing in you. That is the explanation for why you feel that way now. You used to be a slave to sin, John 8:34. But the hopeless sinner you used to be has now died with Jesus Christ on the cross. And you are now a new creation, and you have been raised with Christ, with the very life of God living in your body. Isn't that fantastic? You now have the life of Christ living in you. And it's true of you if you're a Christian. That is who you are in Jesus Christ. So you died, you were raised. And the third thing that's true about you as a Christian is that your life is hidden with Christ. Colossians 3, verse 3 and 4. For you died to this life, and your real life now is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Your life is hidden in Christ, and one day the glory that you have in Christ will be revealed. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time someone came up to you and said, you know, I can really see the beauty and wonder, the glory of God himself in your life? When was the last time? Has anybody ever said that to you? Oh, wow, gosh, there's one here. Nobody's ever said that to me. Incredible. And I'd hazard a guess and say for most of us, we've never experienced that. And there's a reason for that, the Bible tells us. Because the Bible says that our lives are hidden with Christ. What does that mean? What that means is that all that we are in Jesus Christ, when we become Christians, this new creation, all that we are, our complete beauty, is not yet fully visible to the human eye. It's there, but it's not yet fully visible. We see glimpses of it. How can I explain that? Well, in the back of my garden, I've got a tree right in the middle of, looks almost like a pathetic tree, but I love it. It sort of slants like this. It's not straight, but it sort of slants a little bit. And if you look at it now, in the heart of winter, it's just bare, and it just looks dead. Absolutely dead. No, like, that's not it, but it looks a bit like that. Looks like my garden's not that big. But it's just bare, and it looks lifeless. It's just awful. But when spring comes, the buds start to show, and then as we go deeper into spring, it develops into a beautiful lilac tree. It is absolutely lovely. I love looking at it. My only regret is that it doesn't bloom for too long, but it is beautiful. And the Christian life is a bit like that tree, in that all the life and beauty that we have in Jesus Christ is not yet fully visible to the human eye. But it is there. It's in my tree in the back garden, but it's not fully visible yet. But it will only be fully revealed when we're in glory with Jesus Christ. That's when our beauty in all its fullness will be revealed. And then we'll all be going around looking at one another saying, wow, you know, I didn't think you could look like that. You scrub up well, Ryan. You know, as all the full glory of Jesus Christ is made visible in you. That is true of you. That is what you are, and that is what will happen to you when you come face to face with God in heaven. So are you absolutely clear so far this evening about the truths of your new identity? Are you clear about who you are in Jesus Christ? Here they are again. When Christ died, your old self died with him. Truth. When Christ rose, you rose with him into new life. Truth. When Christ appears again, you too will appear with him. Truth. In all the fullness and glory and righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. Sin used to be your master. You were its slave. And because of that, you were always destined to fail. But that person died with Jesus Christ, and you rose again with the very life and power of God in you, and you are now set free from the bondage of sin. John 8:36 says, "The Son has set you free, you are truly free." And you say, "Well, hang on a sec, Mike, I beg to differ." I had somebody come to me a while back, and they said, "Mike, but relatively new Christian." And they said, "Mike, so I've become a Christian, and you said that the old has gone and the new has come, that I am a new creation." They said, but it's just a lie. It's just a lie, because I'm just still the same old rubbish that I used to be. And it's horrible, and I feel so guilty and condemned. Nothing's changed. I'm still drawn to all the things that I used to do before. I'm just drawn to those things. They just keep pulling me back, it seems. And I'm just torn apart, and I hate myself. I'm not a new creation. I'm just the same old rubbish. And my response was, "Are you really?" So let's just have a look. You're saying that before you became a Christian, did these things that are bothering you now, used to bother you? No, couldn't care less. Were you torn and cut up about them? No, it wasn't at all. Did you give them a second thought? No. Did you feel guilty or condemned because of them? No. Well, why do you think you're feeling like that now? What's behind that? I'll tell you what it is. It's because the old self that wasn't sensitive to the sin in your life has died. And you now have a new spiritual identity. The very life of God is now in you. And that is why you are so conscious of sin in your life. John 8:47 says, "Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. but you do. And this person who came to me also did. How do we know that? Well, because you now want to change. You now want to be different. Sin now bothers you. It never used to before, but it does now. Why is that? Well, because you're a child of God, and as his child, you now share the same characteristics of your Father in heaven. You now have the same DNA as God. And because sin bothers God, it bothers you. Because the very life of God has become infused with your own soul. It is the mark of your new identity that you feel like that. Being a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It just means that you become aware of your sin and the struggle with sin, and it bothers you, and you seek to live a life of purity, even though it's a struggle. And that's the difference. A man called Alan Redpath, I've shared this before, I'm sure, but he was a great preacher in the last generation, and he became a Christian as a young man, and then subsequently fell away back into his old life and ways. And eventually, he came back to Christ, and he said this about his backsliding. He said, "I always knew that I was a real Christian, and this is how I knew. I knew because I was so miserable." I was miserable because I was not being myself. I was trying to live the life of a person who had died. And you can't live the life of a dead man. So can you see what was happening here in this man's life? Here was a child of God, a new creation in Christ, a person with the very life of God in him. But where was his heart? Where was his mind? On the things of the world, on the things of the flesh. What was the result? A friction, an uneasiness in his very soul. All he experienced was complete misery. Why was that? Well, because his heart and mind weren't where they were supposed to be. He was not being himself. He was trying to live the old identity, and that person had ceased to exist. Sin in your life, if you're a believer, now bothers you. Because it bothers God, you have the same DNA. It is a hallmark of your new identity. Not being perfect, or not being drawn to sin, or not struggling with sin. But the fact that it bothers you is a genuine hallmark that you are a child of God. That you now reflect the nature of your Father. And you say, well, hang on, Mike. Don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that when you become a Christian, the power of temptation will be completely eliminated. It won't. Clearly it won't. Jesus himself was tempted. What it means is that before you're a Christian, you're always destined to fail in that battle because you are unable to overcome the gravitational pull of sin in your life. You were its slave. And a slave does what his master tells them to do. But now you have the very life and power of God in you. The problem is, not enough of us recognize that and access that. Sin no longer has to control you. You now have the power to overcome any sin in your life. I know. I'm not perfect, but my Christian friends look at me and they know that the things that I've managed to overcome have got nothing to do with me. Because they know what a wretch I was, like we were singing earlier on. And they know that Mike Pavlou didn't have the strength or the resources to be able to make those changes in his life. You now have the power in you to change if you want to. Yes, you still have the capacity to sin, but you no longer have the same desire to do so. You can now recognize sin in certain areas of your life that you never used to before. It was acceptable to you before, but it isn't now. And that's the difference. That's the difference. You now have the capacity and the power to love the things that God loves. That's the reality of who you are as a follower of Christ. So can you see the truth of who you are? Realize who you are. Be that person. Live that identity. And you say, well, if that's true, Mike, why is it so difficult for me then to live out this new life, this new identity? Why is it so hard? Why? Well, two things briefly. First of all, whoever told you following Jesus would be easy? Whoever told you that? Be misinformed if they have. You need to get one of these insurance, you know, the PPI, missold insurances or whatever, and make a claim because you've been sold something that is not true. Who told you it would be easy? You'll find yourself continually swimming against the tide of our society as a Christian. And it'll be hard. It'll be like swimming in a sea of treacle sometimes. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. And each of us will have a different cross to carry. The second thing is anything new takes a bit of getting used to, doesn't it? Anything new. Change takes, you know, change can be difficult. It's the same with a new identity. We're not completely comfortable with it overnight. It takes a bit of getting used to. If you have a new job, if you have a new position, if you have a promotion, it takes time to fit into that role. It takes time to get used to that new position in the company or your workplace. It doesn't happen overnight. And in the same way, your new nature takes some getting used to. So for years before you were a Christian, you listened to your old nature. It governed you. It steered you. It had authority over you. It told you what to do, and you were helpless to do anything about it. You were its slave. But now you are in a new position. You have a new authority. You now have authority of the old nature. You can now direct where your thoughts and actions go. You just have to get used to doing that. And whereas before we couldn't help but succumb to those temptations, we never had the power to overcome them. Now that we have the very life of God in us, we have the power to resist them. It doesn't mean to say that you will not fail or fall sometimes. Of course you will. But the difference is you'll know you have, and you pick yourself up, seek forgiveness, dust yourself down, and get on with the walk again. Luther says this about sin and temptation. You can't stop birds flying around your head. Nothing you can do about that. But you can stop them from making nests in your hair. You can do that. So as we conclude this evening, please hear me. The battle with temptation will be ongoing. That won't go away. It won't get any easier, however many years you've been a Christian. But the difference is, you are now free from the bondage of sin. You're no longer a slave to it. Sin bothers God, and that's why it now bothers you. That's because you now have God's DNA in you. You're one. Sin now bothers you in a way that it never used to. And that's the difference. That is a hallmark of genuine conversion. Being a child of God doesn't mean you're perfect. It simply means you're forgiven. That's what it means, forgiven. So be who you are in Christ. Be yourself. Live the life that God has given you. Be who God has made you, created you to be now. Live the life that Christ has put in you. You died. You were raised, and one day you will be gloriously presented by Jesus Christ to God the Father in person with all the fullness and beauty of Christ himself. Can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine what you look like when you'll be presented with a full glory of the characteristics of Jesus Christ? You will be just like him, the Bible says. It's incredible. That is true of you. That is what your future holds. That is your destiny. Live it out in the here and now. Let it bring joy to your hearts this week. Let it make you rejoice this week as you go about your life circumstances, irrespective of what's going on. That all these things are true of you, and this is what your destiny and your future holds one day. I want to pray. I want to pray on three counts this evening. Whenever I'm in the company of people I don't know, I know quite a number of you, but there's also a number that I don't know. And whenever the word of God has gone out, I always believe. I say this every time because this is what I'm about. I believe it passionately. that when the word of God goes out, it never returns to him void. I believe with all my heart that it's a living word and that it makes an impact. It doesn't depend on the preacher often. It's the word. It depends on the word of God. So I believe this evening the word of God has impacted numbers of people here, because that's what the Bible says. And I want to pray, because I don't know if some of you are Christians this evening. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, and you've seen all that it means to follow Christ, that you can become a new creation, that you no longer have to be a slave to sin, that you can overcome the battle with temptation, you can be given a power that you now don't possess in order to combat temptation and stop doing those things that you just don't want to do, and that you can be transformed into the likeness and beauty of Jesus Christ and be presented to God the Father as pure, perfect, spotless and holy, something that you cannot do in your own strength, power or resources. If that's what it means to be a Christian this evening, why would you not choose to become one? And I want to give an opportunity for any here this evening who would like to give their life to Jesus Christ, an opportunity to do so. And if you'd like to do it, I'm just going to invite you to raise your hand, and then I'm just going to pray a prayer. This is a safe place for all of us. I'm going to pray a prayer, and then you can just repeat that prayer in the quietness of your heart. The words themselves hold no magic. It's just the heart that the Lord will look at. And if it's a sincere heart, the Lord will just rush in and make you his own. And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same again. So if you're not a follower of Christ and you'd like to take that step this evening and give your life to him, can you indicate that now, please, while the rest of us remain with our eyes closed, by just raising your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you. I see you. Just going to wait a moment to see if there's anybody else. I want to pray this prayer in the quietness of your heart. Just repeat the words after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you as a sinner in need of your salvation. I turn away from all that I know to be wrong, and I turn to you seeking forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me. Thank you that you took the punishment for my sin in your body. And thank you that because of that, I can be forgiven and set free. So I invite you now to come into my life and forgive me and be my Lord and my Savior. I receive you now. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, for those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There's been a change of ownership tonight. You know, belong to Jesus Christ. Love to chat with you after the service. We can tell you what the next step is in your newfound walk. That will be wonderful. Please speak to me, Colin or Ryan. I want to pray for others of us now. There may be some of us here this evening, and this is a very brave thing to do as well. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I just want you to indicate by raising your hand that you may be able to recognize or resonate with Alan Metcalf that I mentioned earlier on, Redpath that I mentioned earlier on. That you are not being yourself, and instead you have been trying to live the life of a dead person. And you know that, and you want to put it right. You know there's areas in your life that you've just gone back to, and it's making you miserable. You're not happy because you're trying to live the life of a dead person, and that person ceased to exist. And you know that, and you want to put it right. This is a wonderful place and a time to do that this evening before God. And if that's you, just raise your hands again, and I just want to pray for you for a reconnection with Jesus Christ this evening. Thank you. I see you. Anybody else? Okay, for those of you who raised your hands, Father, just want to just pray this prayer of forgiveness. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to suffer and die for me. Thank you for my new identity in you. Thank you that I am a new creation. Thank you that I am your child, and that I continue to be your child even when I went a bit astray. That never changed. And thank you, Lord, that the hallmark that I remained your child was that I was miserable doing the things that I knew I shouldn't have been doing. And Lord, I just confess those things to you now. Just want to give you a moment to confess whatever it is that you're repenting of. I confess them to you, and I receive your forgiveness afresh. Thank you, Lord, that you long to forgive. Thank you that the reason you convict us of sin is not to condemn us or tell us off, but to draw us back into that right relationship with you. I receive you afresh in my life. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And finally, I want to invite us all to stand up. And if you feel able to, don't do so if you don't wish to, but if you feel able to pray this prayer with me. We can all pray it together. Can we have the prayer up, please? Oh, it's not on there. It's up. Okay. Okay, if you feel able to pray this prayer, then I just, all of us, it's just a prayer of like identifying connecting with who we really are in Christ, who God is, the power and authority that we have in Him, and we're just confessing all those things before God this evening and before the enemy as well. We're sort of throwing it back in His face. So just repeat after me, and let's pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the only one true. Let's all pray together, sorry. You are the only one true and living God, worthy of all honor, praise, and glory. You are a tower of salvation, a shield to all who trust in you, a strong fortress, my refuge, and my deliverer. I stand in the truth that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to the resurrected Christ. And because I am in Christ, I am no longer a slave to sin. I stand in the truth that because I now belong to Christ, no one and nothing can ever snatch me from His hands. I am His, and He is mine for all eternity. Father, you are alert and active, watching over your word of truth. to see that it is fulfilled. And as I declare your word in your strength and power, create in me a pure heart and fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse me and wash away my sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. I ask that you strengthen my inner being and that your peace may reign in my heart. I declare that I am complete in you and that Satan and his demons are subject to me in Christ, since I am a member of his body. I declare that I have a spirit of power and love, a sound mind, and the word of Christ dwells in me richly. I have been sanctified by your word of truth. I declare that because I have made you my dwelling place, no evil shall come upon me. Your promise is that you will give your angels charge over me, and you will keep me in all my ways. So I call forth the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout my home, my family, my work, and all I do in service to you. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, with all glory and honor, and thanks to him. Amen.